Just that look on my mom's face broke my heart, tore my soul apart. So now I got a colder heart. Realizing these cats is fake thugs. They ain't worried about me. It was fake love, but Rab kept it real. Schmidt kept it real. Even though he's up Camp Hill, he kept it real for real. I was hustling the seat though, ducking my PO. He was trying to get me locked up. I was trying to lock the block up. Plus these boys wanted me popped up. And on top of that, dudes starting rumors on my name. Like I ain't true to the game. Damn, shit changed. 17 years old, got lot violation of probation. Came home 18, it was time to make clean. My man had to work, waiting, it was back to money making. And hell in that purple haze, and a lot of people was hating. Reminding myself of Satan, no conversations, just caving the motherfuckers facing. No rapping, poke a face on, no laughing. Imagine my mind state, the looks on my mom's face broke my heart, tore my soul apart. So now I got a colder heart. Realizing these cats is fake thugs. They ain't worried about me. It was fake love. But Rab kept it real. Smith kept it real. Even though he's up Camp Hill, he kept it real for real. I was hustling the seed though, ducking my PO. I was trying to lock the block up. He was trying to get me locked up. These boys wanted me popped up. And on top of that, cats was starting rumors on my name. Like I ain't true to the game. Damn, shit changed. Alright, back from that commercial break. And, alright. We gonna go to 2004. Is that what I said? Yeah. Alright. I wish you could smoke cigarettes. So, in 2004, it kind of started off crazy. Because right before the New Year started, I got released from St. Gabriel's Hall. At this time, I now had my high school diploma. And so, I didn't walk. I walked with De La Salle, but I didn't walk until January, and I got released in the beginning of November. So that's how it started off with my graduation. First off, I want to say I came home in that bid, and it was business as usual. And I'm not down blank grading nobody that I'm talking about in this story, because I was a grown man at this point. I take full responsibility for everything I did. And I'll tell you about 2004. So when I came home from St. Gabe's, so now I ain't got to go to school no more. 18, I just turned 18, but really my mentality is that of probably a 16, 15 year old, as far as me never going to high school, as far as things of me being locked up for them 9 and 12 months when I was 17 years old. So 2004, when I came home from the bid, it was, like I said, it was business as usual. When I got booked, I didn't know that I was going to get booked in 2003 for the St. Gabe's. So, I wound up leaving some work. So, you know, when I got situated and got settled in and all that, first thing that I did was told Pops, like, yeah, John is in the jump with the jump. Over there in the jump, Yeah. Get that to the ball with the, yeah. And, yeah. The John, yeah, right, exactly. And that's how the conversation went. You know, it's jail phones, and, you know, they listen. Even in St. Gabe's, I don't know if they were listening, but I might have even been still in the youth study center when I told them this. So he proceeded to do that. So when I got hit with the 9 to 12 months, that's a whole nother story. He took care of that work. So I come home to a couple of hours. Bam, pops. Gives me that, plus matches. Something like 1500, something like that. Get to work. If I get to work, what am I talking about? My mind was thinking, all right, my kid, I just came home. You know, at this time it was more loyalty, you know, in 2004. So when you just came home, your homies that you was working with before, like, they were blessing. So I'm getting blessed by, you know, my man, you know, I don't want to say no names on here, but they know who they are. I came home, my man blessed me. So I'm doing that. And I'm moving to white, I'm moving to green, but I'm still playing the bar scene. See what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm playing that scene. And just for me to be able to stand that whole scene, I had to be perked up. And mind you, when I was in St. Gabe, I would be on home passes, I'd be popping perks, I'd be bringing perks back into St. Gabe's. Like, I remember, like, being on the youth block and, like, telling people, and people be so young and shit that they didn't even want to mess with them, John. So, and I'm glad I didn't, because, you know, they could have been the death of one of them, for real. So I'm all into that already at this age. And I don't even know that I'm addicted to these joints. I don't know that these mood swings I'm having are because, you know, the lack of the opiate. I don't, it's not mentally there that, like, yo, I have a habit and this is what it is. And at that time, it wasn't heavy in rap. It wasn't a heavy rap influence, but Beanie Siegel was definitely my inspiration as far as being a rapper in Philadelphia and making it and getting on a level to where as though you have your own sneaker brand, and you have your own clothing brand, and you have your own movies and stuff like that, and to be on that level, and for him to just live 5 blocks over from where I live, that just showed me that it could be done. And when that showed me it could be done, I seen them, when you go through our neighborhood, you see the expressway. You gotta go to the expressway, you gotta go through our neighborhood. So we'll see beans coming through in the Bentley. You know what I mean? The blue John at first, the one that's on Jay-Z's Hard Knock Life Volume 2 cover. Jay-Z gave him that, and he took the payments over on that. So that's what happened with that. So Beans is whipping that down Tasser Street, and you know, he'll stop. Matt, what up? You already know, you know what I mean? So the one time he is at Kelly's Deli, and we rap for him and all that. But anyway, so he was the inspiration. So 2004, it was a thing, like, everybody was drinking syrup in the city, but it was a more of a low-key thing, you know what I mean? It wasn't as popular as it is now. Like, you know, the syrup man had a few people that he served, and that was that. So, back to 2004, I come home, got some money. I decide I'm gonna go into business with some marijuana and some cocaine. All right, statute of limitations been out this almost 20 years ago. So, something happens, I don't even know. And I'm running wild, and I'm just barely, you know, holding on. You know, I'm smoking weed all day. I'm getting on, and you know, I got my little, you know, on the side bread and all that. But I'm not eating. You feel me? Like, I'm getting somewhere. Don't get it wrong, cause you know, exactly what had happened was I got out in November, like I said. December, you know, home for Christmas, all that. I wasn't home the year before, I don't think so. Whatever. So, we go right back to where I'm at, 29th Street. And I'm hustling, doing my 1-2 thing. And, doing my 1-2 thing, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, this shit started getting real. As far as though, I had to take a commercial break. Still on this Grow podcast, you know, and my Corleone, be like that. What's going on, good people? You want to be a guest on the Learn As You Grow podcast? You got a story that you want to tell to the kids out there? Like I said, this podcast is for the kids that don't have no voice, the kids that grew up in the opiate pandemic and the crack pandemic, and they didn't have no parents, they didn't have no guidance. So it don't matter if you're a nurse, if you're a barber, if you're a rapper, if you're a singer, don't matter what you are. We just need you to come on and tell your path on how you did it, because these kids are going through some stuff and they don't know who to go to for advice. They don't want to ask nobody for advice because they're embarrassed. They don't want to get laughed at. The last people they came to for advice might have clowned them out the room, might have used it against them on social media. Who knows? These kids are going through a lot. So if you just come on here and tell your story about how you became a barber, how you went about driving for Uber, something little like that can teach a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old the right path. Maybe even a 36-year-old the right path. Maybe even a 45-year-old the right path. Who knows? But your story is your story, and it's important, and it needs to be told. The Learn As You Grow podcast with M.I. Corleone. You already know. Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and more. On that note, I'm going, you know. Look, to get your business on the Learn As You Grow podcast, the Spam for Spam podcast, www.beatsbythekilo.com, @beatsbythekilo.com on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, what else we got, YouTube, what else we got all types of pages all over, but you get the point. We'll advertise you anywhere you want into this, and even other places as far as if you want to get on YouTube and you need somebody to make you a commercial, who better than CLC Advertising. Now, CLC Advertising is new to the game, but we've been around for about almost 20 years now, And I'm talking about doing digital stuff. I've been doing marketing online since the AOL days when I used to market my cassette tapes on there. Yeah, it's around in the profile back in the day. You used to be able to write something. I'd type in some bars back then, and I had people ask for cassette tapes. So back then I was doing that. And when I came home from doing my little stint that I was just talking about 15 years ago, I jumped right on the MySpace, and anybody knows that my Real Rap Entertainment channel at that time with my music on it, that had so many subscribers and so many views, because what I was doing, I was the first person to get other people's tracks. I was the first person with Beanie Sigel's Jay-Z diss back in 2008-2009. And when I posted that, I put my album cover on there and my MySpace. So whoever's listening to the Beans joint, they're gonna be like, oh, this the white boy from Philly? Like, who is he? Like, you check him out. So then they check it out. So then my views got crazy. But at the end of the day, you know what happened? MySpace folded. I had all my friends on MySpace. No contacts nowhere else. No email addresses, no phone numbers. I just had contacts on MySpace, and it folded. It turned to Facebook, turned to Instagram, turned to Twitter, turned to all these other spots, and left everybody stranded trying to get new fans. New fans. So then you had to put new content out. And at that time, you know, I was so distraught because I had everything in the box, you know, and to start all over was just a hurt piece. So with you, you can get it on YouTube, you can get it on whatever, SoundCloud, but will that stay up forever? You don't know. But if you put your music on beatsbythekilo.com, I promise you, it'll stay up there. Now, beatsbythekilo.com isn't, some people thought my name was Kilo, like Beats by the Kilo Productions. Nah, it ain't like that. It's more like founded after Beats by the Pan, the legendary No Limit Records production group. Look them up. Look how many beats they made in a year for every album. And 98, 97, 10 years. Look how many beats they made for the No Limit Records. Anyway, paying homage to them, I started this. So I'm looking for producers. I'm looking for rappers. Because I got my publishing company too, which is called Beats by the Kilo Publishing. And we're through ASCAP. And we're also looking for artists to work with to give out single deals. Single deals are a thing that I haven't seen too much of these days, but I plan to bring them back. And what a single deal is I take an artist who got, might have a slight little buzz, a little something, you know what I mean? Like maybe 2,000 followers or something, but I might have interest in what he's doing. So therefore, what do? I come in, I first of all, bless his pockets with a little son. And for one song, one single, I'm like, this is it, just for one song. Now I'm gonna pay for him to get the video shot, and I'm gonna pay for him to record the song, get it mixed, mastered. I'm gonna pay for the beat, everything. So it's 100% ours. And when I say ours, I mean that it's literally ours. Like, I'm not trying to jerk you for your publishing or none of that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to help you set up your own publishing, because a lot of people don't know how to do that. But if you go onto the YouTube page and subscribe, then you'll know. But anyway, back to what I was saying about the advertising. You advertise with me, I can get you on YouTube, And a lot of people don't know that the secret is Google, with Google advertising, as far as as far as advertising, because with Google, say somebody types in plumber in St. Louis, right? Now, you can have that with your business to type in to where though it's in one little spot, one little area code, and it'll be, say you just want older people, you don't want to mess with young people, you know, they're sloppy and, you know, they just bring problems. So you just want ages 35 and up. You can actually send your commercial out to them, your advertisement out to them when they look it up, and it just goes straight to them, and you don't have to deal with nobody else, and you only have to pay if they quit, and you can do it for as little as $2 a day. You can't beat that. For as little as $2 a day, like, and you don't have to pay if they don't quit. So that's an impression right there. What an impression is, if people don't know, an impression is they seen Beats by the Kilo. They didn't click on it, but they seen it, they scroll past it, but it's in their head now. That's an impression. They seen it. So next time it's gonna be familiar to them, and they might double back next time. And that's what it's all about as far as promotion goes, is your name and your brand being seen. Because like I tell rappers all the time, what's gonna make you different? Being a rapper is like going down there, being a cereal box with an aisle full of about 10 million cereal boxes. Why are they gonna pick your cereal box? Only way I can figure it is because your cereal boxes are outshining. You're putting out more content. So as far as advertising goes, you just want to get your business in as many places as you can. You want to get, if you do music, you want to get your songs in as many places as you can. If you do plumbing, you want to get your plumbing pictures of before and after or whatever. You know, up on as many websites as you can, up on as many reviews as you can, and I will help you with that personally. If you look at me, I'm a level 8 Google Google type analytics dude. So advertising can bring your business up to 65% more clientele than you had last year, this year. So especially with the digital and all the online stuff right now. Get it done. What are you waiting for? Hit me up. 215-436-3725. Once again, that's 215-436-3725. Hit me up if you need advertising. Hit me up if you need exclusive beats. If you don't, check them out. BeatStars.com/BeatsByTheKilo. SoundCloud.com/BeatStars/TheKilo. So, I'm off this. Advertise with us. CLC Advertising. And now on that note, you know. Alright, so. Get this in order. 2002. Crazy year. 2004, another crazy year. And that's what we're talking about today. Alright. Now, I was only not even 6 months. And I went back to court around February. I was still on probation. Just came home, November, early November. at Christmas, New Year's. And in my head, when I came home, I tried to stop. I tried to stop. I remember I was just popping perks and that's it. And I never really liked popping Xannies. So, but it led to that. And not too much though, because I just once in a while, maybe once a month or something like that. But it led me back to my drug of choice, which was marijuana. And that mixed with the opiates was my drug of choice. The opiates and then the marijuana and the kicking in. Forget about it. So I think I lasted to probably like the middle of November of 2003. Started smoking. Smoked like twice. I'm thinking, you know, trying to beat the little month. Smoked for a couple of days. I see my PO on this day. But as soon as I smoked, it was off to the race. I'm smoking every day. It's a wrap. Full blown wrap. Now, I'm 18, going on 19, on juvenile probation, just came home from the juvenile bay. January comes, my graduation comes. I'm mangled. I take, you know, because my people broke me off something for graduation. I'm walking with De La Salle. Now, De La Salle is a school in the city that's, you know, known for, you know, kids with behavior problems. Now, we're walking with them because they're connected, but I'm a part of the kids that had more behavior problems than the kids that De La Salle, like, to the point where send them away somewhere, like, they didn't even, you need to get out of here, you need to take a break. So, I remember taking an 80 milligram Oxycontin. And I remember my man Jesse and my man Kurt, no pun intended, was in there. And on that note, what was happening was so crazy because it was like, I was getting so mangled already at that point. So I do the bit, youth foster camp number two, I get sent away about a month after my graduation, right? I come home, I got my weight up, I got my money up because while I was in there, I'm gonna do a whole nother episode about that. I'm just talking about what I had to come home to. I turned 19 and then I got the mentality of about a 17-year-old. I had my high school diploma. I got my driver's license even before I should came. And I made some money off of that. Working in the kitchen and working, cutting grass and all that stuff. It was in the middle of the mountains, middle of nowhere, Whitehaven, Pennsylvania. So when I came home, I noticed something was different. And by different, I mean in a bad way. My intuition felt that it was a bad thing, but my addiction was telling me that it was a good thing. My mom, my sister, my step-pop and my aunt were all doing perks and they had the house on 28th and Tasted that, you know, was my step-pop's house and they wound up selling that and moving that to Jersey. So mind you, I'm getting, me or my sister is getting perks from my mom every day and she's blessing us both. So she don't know though. She don't know. I mean, she got caught up in the rapture. She had no idea. She was over in Jersey for all them years. Then when I left and got booked and all that, she went back with my stepfather, who was a heroin addict, and it was what it was. He started running for him and getting him close, you know, so he can do his heroin in peace. So, therefore, I come home and all this. So, I'm in Miami. I took a trip to Miami to the Source Awards 2004. It was one of the highlights of my life, actually. And meeting my man Rad and my man Hus, my man Krause. And we went out there to the Source Awards. And I came home from the youth forestry camp on October 1st. I was on the flight October 8th. And it was just lovely being out there in Miami. I swear I wanted to stay out there. I wanted to just move out there at the time. BMF was just blowing up. So Young Jeezy and them was out there. And I didn't even know who Young Jeezy was at the time. He was just out there promoting his mixtape, The Trapper Dodge, on his first mixtape. He was out there handing them out in a Lamborghini with Jack Leo, the rapper, in the Lamborghini with him. And they had all these BMF shirts, and you know, me and my man rapping, I remember Bun B was there, and Bun B was like, I don't care if he's black, white, yellow, purple, that is fire. And if you don't know who Bun B is, he must not know about hip hop, but he's one of the dudes featured on Jay-Z's Big Pimpin' record, from Bun B from UGK, the legendary group from out of Texas. And so coming home to all that, and all my family getting high, led me to just say, why not me too? And I joined them. And I went all the way in. And you know what happened after that? Curse and Oxycontin. Became a thing of the past. Because my step-pop introduced my mom to her. And in turn, I see my mom wasn't getting close no more, but she was looking right. So I remember being sick and them not having, we just being not having money. And you know, my step-pop coming to me like, yo, I ain't got no person, but I got this, give me 2 days. And I remember just running up to the room, and I thought it was going to like have me dead, you know what I mean? But I'm doing it and just doing the other one, just feeling right. So that's how strong the oxy were, that, you know, 2 days of heroin just got me okay. Because the oxy was so strong that I built up a tolerance that was, it was crazy. So with that being said, I had to see the judge again at 11 in 2005, and it was rough with all of us getting on, man. There was no leader telling us to step up and be like, yo, we need to stop this. So the spiraled out of control. So the next episode, you can only guess what I'm going to talk about. Because eventually y'all started using that year. And next episode, I'll let you know. Move on. It's the Learn As You Grow podcast. Your boy, Emon Coleman. Go to www.beatsbythekilo.com for more information on the podcast, for the beats, and all that. I'm gone. On that note, you know.